Boop boop, that's the sound of my dumb niece. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Thank you, Taylor the Boy One. Taylor the Boy One for that catchphrase submission. I don't know if that's going to stick. I don't know. Pretty good, though. I don't know. Maybe I say that every week. I'm not really sure. Oh, well, let's talk to our guests about this, get their opinion. I definitely want to hear what they think about it. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another edition. My name is Scott Aukerman. Coming up a little later, we have a someone who works in the film industry. That's exciting. Wow. Stars are back. Stars are back on the show. We also have an acting coach. Okay, well, they work in the industry a little bit. So that'll be exciting. That's B block and C block. But let's get to A block here because we have some other people who work in the industry. Their accomplishments are many. Certainly on one side of the table.
ow, Jason, I don't mean to have a slight you. I feel so bad. He's slighting you. That's horrible.
A lot I know about one of you and a little I know about the other one of you.
That's good. That's the way to keep it. Yeah. He's worked very hard to cultivate that image.
One of you had a 10-year run, 9-year run?
Nine-year run on an
incredible sitcom, probably the number one sitcom of all time. In terms of viewership, at least, and critical acclaim?
I'm not familiar with the stats.
You don't know the stats,
I know
really.
The check's cleared.
Why didn't they make baseball cards of, like, all the Seinfeld characters?
I do not know, and
with all their stats on the back.
Not only do I not know why they make the cards, I don't know why people feel they are more valuable if I sign them.
That's right. Isn't that strange?
I have no idea.
But Seinfeld is. For Magic the Gathering. This is an idea, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So one of you is in Seinfeld, and the other one of
watch
you...
Watch Seinfeld.
Watch Seinfeld.
Occasionally.
Okay. Oh, only
not
occasionally.
Not a fan.
Never saw it. Not a fan.
But they are doing a podcast together. It's a podcast that's out currently and in perpetuity, I hope. It's called Really? No, Really? It's on the iHeartRadio Network. Please welcome to the show. For the first time, Jason Alexander and Peter Tilden.
Oh, wow. And by the way, not just alphabetical order.
That's right.
Just saying.
And alphabetical in both names, as well as the first name and the last name.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, what a job you're doing.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, we just started, but we're observing because we want to see how to do this.
You guys are new podcasters.
We are new podcasters. Right.
We are. Very
I have to say, finally, celebrities are doing podcasts.
Yes.
Well, we saw that there's a niche, a huge opening. Jason said, you're not going to believe this, but I did some research.
I think
we got a slot.
Yeah. What I do like about the show that you guys are doing, I'll have you explain. Why don't you explain it first, and then I'll comment on it.
I would like to hear. Shouldn't he explain it?
No, you know what that means. He's not familiar with the show.
I know everything about this.
It's fine.
I don't have to look down at these notes here
go ahead,
in front of me.
Look up and look up.
Okay, I'll look up. It is a show that explores the unexplained questions about, the Earth,
sure.
As well as the universe.
Sure.
Questions like, why are the bathroom doors, why don't they go all the way down to the bottom of the ocean?
Someone read the
ocean?
Someone read the pamphlet. Okay.
And you have guests on to talk about things, guests like William Shatner.
You are exactly right.
This is pretty good off the top of my head.
Light years ahead of where our research.
So tell us about, first of all, I want to know, how you guys know each other, because I saw you've worked together on a couple of TV shows.
Yeah.
I know that. Is that how you met?
I met Peter, had a 30 plus year career here in doing radio in LA.
KABC, from what I'm told.
That was where he ended. where were you when I
met
like
you,
Peter?
Fun. You're watching the osmosis happen. What's that?
You told me
where
5 minutes
ago. Where were
you
when I first came on the show?
In the parking lot.
No, it wasn't KABC.
It was KABC.
Yeah,
it was Morning Drive KABC. You came in.
Right. This is like 1993 or 4.
Three or four.
Early in the Seinfeld run.
Yeah, so perhaps when it was still called the Seinfeld Chronicles.
No, it was past that. Okay. That lasted for a pilot. And then...
much like The Office, an American workplace.
Yeah, that...
Yeah.
See you later.
Exactly. And we had such a good time on the air, kind of collecting. Peter said, hey, you want to... It was an early morning show. He said, you want to have breakfast? And I went, yeah. I think that would be fun.
And I do that with all of my guests, by the way. 0%.
By the way, we brought pastry. Wow. I was offered nothing since
I have to tell our listeners, a lot of people have brought gifts over the years. Allison Williams brought a wonderful baby gift for my new Nepo baby that she's wearing today. As
How
a matter
old's the
of
baby?
Fact,
Are you
4 months. 4 months
wow.
at this point. And Jason and Peter brought Winchell's donuts.
That's right. Why are you laughing? At least
Winchell's
we stop.
Cronuts.
Yeah. They on. Are cronuts. Yeah. Oh, we'll cronuts. Give you the cronuts. Yeah. And how many are in that box?
I have a dozen.
Four. No, four.
Yeah. One for everybody.
You don't come to somebody's home to do something
without bringing half
exactly.
dozen.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah, I was going to repurpose a gift that my agent gave me, but it didn't look right.
what was the gift?
It was some coffee thing with it takes Keurigs, but it's a once.
Why does
I'll take
everybody
the
give?
Okay, send it.
Everybody gives the coffee thing now. I have 9 coffee makers.
Most people drink coffee.
Wait, people are giving you coffee makers?
Coffee yeah. makers. It's the big wrap gift. It's the big Christmas gift. It's the big
yeah. People were giving me iPads for a while. I was just lousy really? With iPads all over the house.
You
like,
got
stop,
extra?
Stop giving me. Oh, yeah. I would just throw
okay,
them out.
Okay.
Fucking iPads everywhere. So good. You guys met in the parking lot of KABC. You had such a great camaraderie and chemistry. Instant rapport on the air. You take it to breakfast.
We took it to breakfast. And at breakfast, Peter said, by the way, I know you're on the Seinfeld thing. I have your next TV series.
Really?
And he did. It was the next TV series I did. It didn't go as planned.
Really? What was the show again?
That burns my butt.
We have a butt-burning situation here.
No, because it's hard to get a show on.
Exactly. Just getting a show on the air is an accomplishment. So maybe not necessarily right after Seinfeld.
Oh.
With all that momentum.
Ooh. How does your butt feel now?
Butt burn number 2.
Wow.
But wait, what was the show? It was the.
I think
was
I may take the cronuts back.
It was a show called Bob Patterson.
So it's a motivational.
I love that show.
Motivational
speaker.
Who can't motivate his own family. Okay, right. It's a great
concept. Love that show. Great concept.
Okay.
Was this based on your own life or.
No.
Your family loves it.
No, my family doesn't like me, but I'm not a motivational guy. I also can't motivate anybody, and they're probably packing while I'm here, but it has nothing to do with that. Right. But I always cracked up with the Tony Robbins and all those guys that they're going to come in, you're going to give them $5,000, and somehow, after a seminar, you're going to go,
after 8 hours.
Yeah, you're 48 years old. You're living your truth. You're looking for your truth.
Exactly.
And obviously, you go fourth out, fifth out of Tony, and you're going to go home and go, oh my God. He helped me reinvent myself. No, you're still the same schmuck you were when you went in. You're $5,000 lighter, and Tony just bought a sweater.
So Tony's life is better.
Tony's life is immensely better.
Yes.
So I always love those characters that they somehow have the roadmap for you. So I thought,
would be great. I'm going to make the show.
Right?
If you guys want to make it.
If you have heat right now, Jason's out. You know what?
Actually, I have no heat. That is the other issue. I directed a movie in 2019, and then a little thing called the pandemic happened.
Oh, sure. Well, that's sort of what happened to Bob Patterson. We
the pandemic of no one watching.
No.
We 2001 was our show. There was 9/11, and I think we debuted on 9/12.
No,
Big time for comedy.
No,
we had second episode. We had to do a candlelight vigil.
No, really?
Yeah. Yep. And. Yeah. One of the Wayans brothers had a show in the adjoining studio.
Right.
And lit a cigar, and the alarm went off, and everybody had to be evacuated. Because,
what?
Yeah. Right, after 9/11. That was good for comedy, too. The audience was in a fine state of mind.
Was this shot at Warner Brothers?
It was shot at Disney.
Oh, at Disney. This is for ABC, because you had worked for KABC, and you were keep it in the family.
It was ABC, Touchstone, and Fox. So I had 37 people giving me notes every night. Yeah.
Is
the right word.
An incredible accomplishment. We've all been, not all of us have been there to have a show on the air, but I had one, sure.
Yeah, sure.
110 episodes, maybe. Jason was kind enough to be on it.
Absolutely.
Did an incredible part.
Great fun. Great fun.
Yeah, by the way, and I've mentioned this on podcast before, I don't know if you remember this, but I asked you at one point, I said, hey, why are you even doing this show? Because it's such a tiny show. And you said, I love the script. And I said,
yeah,
this guy gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
I just did a little movie, first time director, writer. Larry David's daughter is one of the stars of it.
Oh, this is
John
Rudnitsky.
Okay, and
Nepo baby.
Karen. But I don't know if it's ever going to see the light of day. And they were like, I can't believe you're here. And I went, cute script.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. When really you have fun. Because you started, were you a Broadway guy before the show?
Or? Yeah, theater guy.
Right, yep. You're a theater guy. That's the thing. I mean, you spend your life in the trenches just sort of like wondering about these parts. Am I ever going to get to play? I mean, and then you get famous. I don't understand the people who retire the minute they're famous.
Yeah,
it's like, this is when you should be doing all this stuff, right?
This is the whole point of having any celebrity name. There's no good use for it other than you get invited to a few more parties with gigs attached to them, you know, and it's and they were astonished that I said yes. And I said, look, you know, it's a really fun, same thing with this. I mean, I don't really know from podcasts. I really don't. I don't listen to many.
So which ones did you listen to? Obama and Bruce Springsteen together?
I did not.
One of the greatest podcasts.
I read the book, though.
They go super deep, too.
Yeah, they do. And comedy.
Oh, boy, so comedy. Funny. These guys are like so funny together. Well, it's incredible.
Bruce, many people don't know, he's a crack up.
He's so funny.
He's hugely funny.
I love it when he just stops the show. This is the reason his shows are so long. He does 20 minutes of stand-up in the middle.
Got to go to the bathroom to Obama and said, Born to Run, and Obama just went nuts.
He just really...
Now, you did Obama. You worked with Obama.
Yeah, I've met Barry a couple of times, and he's a great guy, wonderful guy. I mean, I don't need to
say that. Okay, so when Obama comes in to do Between Two Ferns, okay?
Are you asking me, did he know what it was until he got into the room?
Did he get it? And how much rewriting and how much he's not going to say this, he's not going to do that, he's not going to go here, are you out of your mind?
Surprisingly, and I'm not the one being interviewed, but I love to tell these stories. Surprisingly, everyone got it. And in fact, we wrote a joke that was pretty hard. And the script, his speechwriter at one point said, I don't think we can say this. And then he said, you know what? I'm constantly being told that I can't write stuff into the scripts. I'm not going to be the one to tell you not to do it. So we're just going to leave it in. I was like, really? Whoa. And I don't think they knew how much power they had. Like, they could have given us any note. We would have been like, okay, sure. But they were very hands off. It was an incredible situation. And in fact, Zach tried to say right before the shoot, hey, I don't want to do this really mean joke. And I said, they've approved it. I worked around it by saying, he's going to expect it. And if you don't say it, it's going to throw him off. And he went, oh, okay, we don't want to throw him off.
Wow. Fascinating. Yeah.
Is it fascinating or is it boring? I can't quite tell.
No, you're right. Not what I'm thinking about.
You're now exactly in the turf of our podcast.
And this is what I want to get back to.
Wait. I was going to say, Laurie, yeah. You're sitting over there. Pull that clip for really.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, pull the clip. Let's hear the clip.
Let's use that. Make sure we get okay.
So your show, you asked him to do, you had the idea first or?
Yeah. And the same is true of the podcast.
Did you go to breakfast about the podcast?
We didn't because I'm always expected to pay at this point and I'm not doing it anymore.
Did you pay for the Cronuts?
Seinfeld money.
I paid for the Cronuts.
Thank you very much.
No, Peter said, I have an idea based on something that we do all the time. So we've been best friends for close to 30 years already.
Wow.
And we always talk about bizarre things, and he goes down rabbit holes of research and things. So he'll give me a little factoid, and my response will always be, really? No, really? And he went, that's our show. It's the stuff that makes he and I just cock our heads a little bit and go, that can't be a thing. How is that a thing?
Really?
How is that a problem with no solution?
I'm doing
How is this a solution with no problem? How is it? And so one of the things that we did, it was episode one of our show, was Jerry Seinfeld, bless him. It had a really funny premise of why is it in high volume public restrooms, the stall door doesn't go down to the floor.
And I want to talk to you. I don't want to give away the answers because I want people to listen to it. But I have a theory on it.
Okay.
There's a big bathroom stall,
the handicap stall.
I mean the industry.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, so the industry itself. Yeah. Yeah.
Major.
Although
I didn't want to go micro on you. Okay. Okay.
I think there were very few manufacturers of this kind of thing in the US as there were very, you know, how there used to just be less of everything,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And they had a lock on this and they didn't want to pay for the door to go all the way down.
You couldn't be more wrong.
You're wrong.
Really?
Not even close.
Yeah, what is it they wanted?
Well, we're not going to tell you. Why would we tell you?
Why would I give it up?
But the bigger issue, Scott, the bigger issue is in researching it, it's not just that the door doesn't go down. It's that when you're sitting on the seat that has been carved with hieroglyphics by the person before you, and you're doing something that's really private, You can see what's going on in the bathroom. People walking by. You can see stuff
you
pretty
can
clearly.
See, yeah.
Yeah, you can see.
Well, they can see. They can see.
You know, we say if you can see the camera can see
yes.
you. If you can see the people they outside the door in the little cracks and they can see
so
you.
The yeah. answer, so that led us to the illusion of privacy. Why are we okay with the illusion of privacy, which then takes you to your house. If you had a neighbor who's staring at your house all day, you'd punch him. His Ring doorbell is filming you all day, and you're fine with that. He's got the movie, and then you're putting cameras in your house and listening devices,
right.
and on and on and on. So
that's
we live
right.
in this world where there really is an illusion of privacy, and it's because we're okay with it.
What do you guys think about cameras in the bathroom stalls? I'm for it.
Cameras in the bathroom stalls.
Yeah. So then we broadcast it live stream.
Sure.
Well, as a revenue source for, and this way, like if people can't get jobs, like everyone's out there doing the gig economy and stuff like this.
I'll tell you the upside of your proposition there. Mm-hmm. It would humanize all of us. Wouldn't it? Yeah.
And that's the thing.
There's no more celebrity. After
we're,
that.
We're now in an environment in our culture where anyone that you want to see naked has a sex tape. Right? You know, like I'm sure you have a sex tape out there, right, Jason?
If you want to call it sex, that's the only part of it that's debatable.
But I think this is good. I think that like before you go on any date, you should be able to see a sex tape of the other person.
Right.
Just to see, you know, like what you're in for.
I'm tracking this with you. This is good so far.
And this is what I'm talking about with the bathroom. It demystifies everyone where now we're all on an even basis.
What about all the people who can't get a stream started as it is?
That's true. Live streaming, someone who can't stream.
Exactly. Done.
God, this is a good point.
I loved your supposition that I'm going on a date, so I want to see what I'm in for, as if the date is a slam dunk to sexuality of some kind. There's literally no conversation.
I think much like when you're kidnapping someone, getting them at the location is 90% of it.
Wow.
Well, this is a great podcast idea. I haven't listened to it yet, but it's been out for a couple of
just
weeks
two,
now.
As
we're taping this.
There's been two that have dropped.
What's the second one?
This phenomena that you see all over the internet of people who have trained their pets, mostly dogs, to talk via these pre-recorded buttons on the floor. If you look at the internet, there's many celebrity animals that are doing this.
And they talk English?
Whatever
language.
They're pressing a button, whatever the button.
Right.
Oh, I see.
And it starts with, you know, the basics of outside, water, hungry.
Right.
But it becomes, they start to express feelings. They start
really?
And they start to ask questions. And so...
How do they... But are there buttons for the questions?
Yeah,
how do they do it?
If the pet parent... makes the button, and the dog starts linking on their own buttons together. They're forming sentences, and then they're doing,
really?
Then you got a dog going. Really, you're going out in those pants. It's that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you guys read about the new Bing AI chatbot that that basically just today they I think a New York Times writer like had a 2-hour conversation with it where it tried to the chatbot tried to get the writer to leave his wife for it. This is where we're headed. Dogs talking, chatbots trying to get me to divorce my wife.
Yeah.
What is this world?
Well, the fun thing about the talking dog episode is that it then took us into this exploration of, let's say they can communicate more than we assumed. Let's say they can express self-interest and sentient intentions. Now look at how you treat them. Even if they're the love of your life. There was a wonderful mom. I'm going to give away one thing from the thing.
We asked the woman.
Do we need permission for this? Do we need to call up iHeart?
We asked the woman who created this technique. have you ever run a video camera when you've left the house? Does the dog still hit buttons like randomly?
And you have to tune in for the answer.
I want to know.
Come on, don't make me beg.
Don't make me beg. This is the kind of thing he's giving me the look of don't give it away.
This is the kind of thing if you
give people a taste. This is a lot like dealing drugs, which I found out in Amsterdam.
First taste is free.
That's right. You get them hooked. So give us one little taste.
I will tell you that the dog, I won't tell you what the dog did, but it did continue to use the buttons. And the result was, when you hear the story, it's heartbreaking.
Really?
So
I got to listen to
the dog actually pressed the button and said, leave your wife.
and fell in love with a dog. And this is the kind of thing that's so interesting about your podcast. Men falling in love with dogs.
Yes. Is that interesting?
Okay. Yes.
Is it interesting? I don't know.
Listen.
What's interesting is how we look at animals, how we categorize them. And I think The study we used said, I don't think any study has been used that shows that animals are dumber than we thought. So you start wondering what they know and how much we really want to know about what they know.
I find it interesting because you read all these things. Now I have a Nepo baby. And so you read all these things about like, babies, regular babies or Nepo babies, they think this. So when they're trying to express this, we don't fucking know.
No, we don't know anything.
They can't tell us. Yeah.
How old is your baby?
4 months.
So how do you know Nepo baby? Don't they have to get a job in the industry first?
Well, we're training.
You're assuming.
We're podcast royalty here at this household.
So what?
We're on Mount Podmore, and you guys will get there.
You're teaching the baby to talk. Your wife is sitting like a casting director across with a camera and going, look in here.
We will not talk to her unless it's on mic. It has to be a podcast.
I am so proud of you.
As soon as that baby learns how to slate, it's all over.
Well, look, this is a great idea for a show. I'm glad you're not just doing regular interviews with your celebrity friends like every other celebrity
and
does.
And even the Shatner interview, I mean, there's...
What's he talking about?
It goes into
about space?
Many, many things. Well, that was the really. Our really on that was...
No, that really was that he's not... He does more than you do in a year at 92 in a day. Literally, in a day, he doesn't stop. I called Kathleen, his assistant, and she said, well, he can't do that day because he's doing a paintball tournament, he's doing a horse race.
That's the thing. Yeah. That you don't get old if you continue to do stuff.
Play paintball.
Yeah, paintball. That's what I mean.
And then, we get into the space thing with him. And
there's some surprise there, too. Yeah. I will set it up. I said to Bill, so was there a contingency that after they shoot you up and you're on the way up?
Shoot you up?
Not you.
Oh, into space. Yeah, into space. Oh.
Not you.
They're not giving him heroin to go into space.
Okay, or at least you didn't tell us that.
Okay.
But when they shoot you off, was there a contingency in case like... Somebody has a heart attack when they shoot you off,
which just sounds like they're jerking him off. Try find some sort
Scott,
of.
The you only should way leave your wife. Rocket, Scott, you need to leave your wife. Okay. Wow. So when they shoot you into space,
thank you. Okay.
Is there a contingency if again not you but somebody there has a heart attack and he gives the answer?
Really?
Really? No, really.
Really? No, really? This is the kind of thing you guys are, I'm doing it just naturally and you guys turned it into a podcast. This is an incredible job.
Right?
And it's out right now on iHeart and it's called Really with a question mark and then no and then a comma and then really with another question mark. I know that sounds complicated.
You don't even need the punctuation.
You can probably just type in
really, no, really.
Really, no, really. It'll just come right up.
Yep.
You guys are on episode 2 as of this recording. I believe we're on, I think, the 798 or so. Do you think you'll get on to Mount Podmore?
Size queen. We got a size queen.
Which, by the way, my sister-in-law, I was ordering her a mattress. And I said, hey, which one of these do you want? And she emailed me back which one. And then she wrote size queen. And I was like, what are you trying to tell me? And I realized she was telling me the size of the mattress.
Bigger question. Wait.
Yes,
why are you ordering your sister-in-law mattress?
This is the real question. I need to go on your show.
I mean, that just went right by everybody. Hold on a second.
I guess I'm the mattress guy now. I don't know. I advertise.
You have some insight in the mattress? Because my back is certain. Can you recommend?
I'll hook you up with the mattress. Okay. Give me half a dozen cronuts. I'll hook you up with the mattress. Well, Really No Really is out there right now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have someone who works in the industry. This is incredible. Wow. And then an acting coach after that. So this is a big, big show.
I'm looking for that.
This is a very big show.
Really, are you? Okay. Sure. Well, we'll get some tips. All right. We're going to come right back. With more Comedy Bang Bang, more Jason Alexander, more Peter Tilden. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we are back. We have Jason Alexander and Peter Tilden. Really No Really is the podcast on iHeartRadio. And Jason, it may surprise you to learn that my co-host on my other podcast, Scott Hasn't Seen, and we recently watched a movie. I watched a movie for the first time. Called Pretty Woman.
Oh, yes. I've heard of it.
Yes, where you play the lecherous co-worker of Richard Gere, who smacks the shit out of Julia Roberts at one point.
I don't smack her. She smacks me.
What did you do to her? You push her down? I can't remember.
No. See, people attribute very bad behavior to me.
This, in my mind, you smack her.
To remind people... Oh, yes, I do smack.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
Scott, it's been a while since I've seen it.
What you have to understand is there's denial in abuse. Denial.
No, she...
We're not going back to old movies and canceling characters for smacking people.
Yes, she plays a prostitute who has, in my character's opinion, derailed his business by corrupting Richard Gere's character. And I become inappropriate with her.
That's right.
And she bites my hand, and in response, I smack her. And then Richard Gere pulls me off her like a Band-Aid and beats the crap out of me.
Was that a fun? Was that a fun shoot? I mean, you're great in the movie. I'd never seen it before. I personally didn't even know you were in it when you popped up. There's my guy.
You betcha. It was incredibly fun. And the long story truncated down is that the script was actually much more of a drama. But Gary Marshall.
It used to be called $3,000.
$3,000 was it. And Gary Marshall came aboard as the director. And when I came to the film, they had already been shooting for 2 weeks. I remember Richard Gere saying to me in the makeup room, "Get ready, because I don't know what movie we're making." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he went, "You'll see." And I went out for my first scene. All I can tell you is we never got to the dialogue.
Really?
Richard had on fancy pair of shoes, and Gary saw the shoes, and Gary said, "When Richard comes in, talk about his shoes." And I started ad-libbing about the shoes, and we shot that, and he went, "Good, cut, let's move on." And I went, "What about the scene?" He goes, "Shoes are good." And then Richard went, "That's what I'm talking about." And we had no idea that he was making that film or... We couldn't see the forest for the trees. When we wrapped, having had a great time, we went, "He's got nothing. There's no story. There's nothing there." And we were wrong.
Wow. What a story. What'd you get for the wrap gift? Was it a coffee maker?
Let me tell you, when it became the highest grossing rom-com in Disney history, we got a plaque saying it's the highest grossing rom-com in history.
Oh, the Mouse House.
Yeah.
That's industry talk.
Oh, that's all right. I kept the plaque.
And you should know, Richard Gere helped him get the gig.
Really? Did you know Richard beforehand?
I did not. But Gary did not want me because for many reasons. He had another actor in mind, but also I was, I think, 29 years old when I was making that.
Really?
I was playing Richard's high-powered attorney. And because of the fight scene, which was scripted to be a bigger deal, I'm considerably shorter than Richard. And Gary said, "It'll look like he's beating up a dwarf." And because it was a Disney film, they're very protective about their dwarves. So,
this is the issue.
But they couldn't get that actor.
Oh, do you know who the actor was?
I do, but I don't
want to say it. You don't want to say it, I understand.
And he would have been terrific, by the way.
Right.
Gary was pretty adamant that I was just not right for it.
Right.
But the casting director really believed in me, and they didn't have anybody, and that character had to start shooting. So she convinced Richard to invite me to his office with her, and he put phone books down on the ground. And I stood on the phone books to get a better approximation of his height.
Oh, that's so nice of him.
And we shot a scene. And then Richard took the video and put it on Gary's desk and went, "This is the guy. This
wow.
is the guy."
Wow. So, incredible. Yeah, and did that help you get the Seinfeld show at all? Or
possibly. There is. I mean, I'm not sure, but there's a strange geography from Gary Marshall is the brother of Penny Marshall. Right. Penny Marshall was married to Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner was the head of Castle Rock producing Seinfeld.
And just so any being in a movie, a big popular movie.
Yeah,
probably
I guess was, it, yeah. it gave me enough. Visibility.
Richard Gere, you owe your career to him.
I do. I've worked with Richard twice.
Really? What was the other movie?
A little movie called Hachi, about a true story about a dog. It's a very small story. It happened in Japan, but a dog that would accompany his owner to the train station every day and then come back knowing when his train would arrive and walk him home. And one day, after about a year and a half of this, the gentleman died while he was at work and never came back.
No.
The dog never left the train station for the rest of its life.
Oh,
and in Japan, there's a statue of this dog. It's revered as a symbol of undying loyalty. And so Richard produced an American version of that story.
I got to see this movie. I've never even heard of it. Hachi.
Hachi.
Don't rush. You waited 28 years to see Pretty Woman. I mean, hold it.
Yeah, maybe I'll see when I'm 70.
And by the way, little trivia, the movie's directed by Lassie Hallström, also the name of a dog.
That's true. That's a great point. And he directed a movie called My Life as a Dog.
There you go.
And he got that because his name is
Hello,
Lassie.
Right? And he's married to a very pretty woman.
Bringing it full circle.
Yep.
Did you ever hit up Julia Roberts after that movie after she became became a huge star and like, maybe I could beat the shit out of you in other movies. Like Aaron Brockovich, I could just come into the courtroom and just womp.
You know, it's funny. I sent her an email that said exactly that and I never heard back. I don't think I've seen Julia more than once since.
Oh, yeah. You
know, smart pitch, I mean, though, Jason.
Yeah, right? if the podcast doesn't quite work out, yeah, there we go.
Well, this is great. Really, no, really out there in podcast land right now. We need to get to our next guest. He is he's someone who works in the industry. And look, I mean, we all work in the industry. Sure. So this is going to be an interesting conversation with him. Please welcome to the program. I forgot how to say program for a second. Please welcome to the show, Tony Nails. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Hey.
Hello.
I'm good. This is Jason. This is Peter.
Peter. Hi.
Yeah.
Before we get started, I'm intimidated.
Oh, by a huge
star, and then Jason Alexander.
I get that a lot.
I mean, the guy was on the ABC radio.
Yes.
KABC. Yeah, in California. Los Angeles local.
It wasn't national.
He was on ABC radio.
Yeah. Thank you.
But I'm just, of course, but a simple union guy.
Oh, well, you say, of course. How are we supposed to know that?
Well, you can see I'm wearing a wrap jacket from Night Court.
Did you work on Night Court?
That's a big hit. Night Court.
The original or the reboot?
Both.
Both.
They brought me back.
You're like the larrikin of the crew.
Yeah, but Scott, hey, before we even get into any of this, can we get some room tone?
Oh, room. What do you need room tone?
Room tone. So for the people who don't listen, sometimes on a set, they'll do all the lines, and then at the end of the shoot, they'll say, let's get some room tone, which is just silence on set, in order to edit around it. And I feel like I got a mic in my hand. I think we should
Why'd you bring your own mic?
Well, Scott, I'm a sound professional. I'm not going to...
You work in sound. Is that what you do?
I'm a sound guy, Scott.
Did
I not say that? I was but a simple union guy.
Yeah, you never mentioned the word sound.
I didn't mention sound.
Yeah, look, to be fair, you were making sounds. Maybe you thought it was heavily implied.
I was like, he could hear me through a bike. He must know I was in the microphone services industry.
No, wait, I own these, actually. You can see where the confusion
lies. Well, Scott, I think we should get some room tone. Is that okay?
I guess we can get some.
All right. Tone. All right. Hold for room tone.
I just feel like
shut the fuck up. All right. I think we got it.
Okay. Oh my God.
That's always the best part of a podcast.
Yeah.
The room tone.
Definitely the most tense moment on any set.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody can move.
You're afraid you're going to make a noise.
A gaffer drops a light or something. Yeah. The director's going to
By the way,
you
guys always call for room tone right at the end of a 12-hour workday.
Yeah. That's
the last shot. The shot. We got it. And wrap. Wait. Can we hold for room tone, which means nobody can move, nobody can exit, nobody can breathe.
Come 5 seconds earlier and get it.
And let me tell you something. If your stomach growls or something because you're hungry, we got to start all over again. We got to start all over again.
Tony, do you have a top three room tone?
Okay, so all right. Top three room tone. The cockpit from Top Gun Maverick.
Wait, whose cockpit?
Which plane? Which one of the
guys? Hangman, of course.
Hangman. Okay. Okay.
That was an incredible day on set.
You worked on that?
Oh, yeah, I worked on that.
Oh, okay.
You want to know some of the movies I worked on?
Sure, yeah.
Avatar.
The Way of Water?
Yeah, Moonlight. La La Land.
Moonlight and La La Land?
Yeah.
Who were you rooting for in the Oscars?
You know, for me, it was kind of whoever wanted to win.
whoever wanted to win.
Banshees of Inisherin to Leslie.
To Leslie.
Let's see.
That's confusing me because I thought I was seeing the sequel to Leslie.
No.
I thought it was Leslie too. I'm dyslexic. So.
To Leslie. Yeah. Let's see. Avengers Endgame.
So you really, from indies to the biggest motion pictures in the world.
Wow.
Jurassic Park.
The original?
Yeah.
93?
Oh, yeah. 93.
Wait a minute. You have Jurassic Park room tone?
Oh, yeah. That's my top three.
That would have had to have been tough with all the dinosaurs.
Can I tell you? Well, it wasn't the dinosaurs. It was Sam Jackson. He wouldn't shut up.
Really?
I would say, hold for room tone. He'd say, hold on to your butts. I said, we got to stop.
Well, he hears the word hold.
He did it. I said, hold for, and he would cut me off and say, to your butts. I said, no, hold for room tone.
Oh, onto your butts.
But he's a good guy. We get lunch every couple
of weeks. You caught up back with him on Endgame.
We worked on Endgame together.
Snakes on a Plane?
Oh, yeah. Snakes on the Plane. 187.
187. Which I believe is police code for a murder.
Is that what it is?
I believe so.
I thought that this was like his 187th movie. The man works.
They should just call movies like Sam Jackson number 2, number 3, number
That's what
four.
I think they should. Just like comic books.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson, Robert Downey Jr. crossover.
So we got the room tone. Does this conclude our business?
Yeah.
Why are you on the show?
I have to be interviewed by you, Scott. Why is anyone on this show?
That's a good point.
I mean, what the hell?
I mean, honestly.
Scott, of course, I'm a 30-time Mikey winner. And
the Mikeys, I haven't heard about
that's
this.
Not what I've heard of either.
Jason, you've never heard of the Mikeys?
I have not.
What's your word look like? Oh, is it a microphone?
It's a big tree for some reason.
That's so strange. Yeah.
It's the golden tree.
The Oscars is like a dude.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't understand. I guess his name could be Oscar.
True. But then the Emmys are just like some lady with wings.
We have a big silver tree.
Just a big tree.
I don't understand why.
Are there supposed to be mics in it? Like it's like it's an FBI sting or something like that? They've hidden microphones in the tree? Or
I'm going to ask somebody about that, Scott.
Who are you going to ask?
Who's the head of the Mikeys?
A guy named Mikey, perhaps?
Yeah, it is a guy named Mikey.
Are you sure these are microphone-related awards and it's not just guy who lives in a tree?
No. When I go in there, they say, best sound. And then I go up and accept my award.
Wow.
Oh, so you're a Mikey winner.
I'm a 40-time Mikey winner.
Wow. 40. 30.
Who are you up against?
Oh, wait. I'm actually thinking of the 10. I got 10 Razzies as well.
Oh, you got 10 Razzies?
Yeah.
They're giving Razzies to sound?
Yeah. Because sometimes my sound is really bad.
Why? Well, because they don't get good room tone.
This is the thing. If you don't get good room tone at the end of the day.
The director wouldn't let me do room tone. They wouldn't let me put the mic pack on their thigh. I mean, I'm pissed. You guys were talking about bathroom privacy earlier.
Right.
That's right.
Let me just say this. On my sets, I'm recording the entire time.
This is the thing. Anytime you go 10-1, as they say in the business,
I think they should call it 1-2.
Yeah, 1 or 2. Well,
so you're either going 1 or 2.
Right. I used to say 10-2.
That's good.
Because I was taking a big old nasty shit. But when you go, you always look at the sound person like, hey, man, you're not taping this, right? And they always go like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, Rob Hubel's on our set. And suddenly in my headphones, I hear him going to the bathroom. And I'm like, they're lying to us.
I think it's important to get all the sound on the set. Because
no matter what happens,
no matter what it is. And I'll tell you why. The documentaries.
Oh.
10 years, they might do a documentary about this thing. They might be doing a Night Court reboot documentary. And they're like, oh, what was it like when John Larroquette was in the bathroom? And I've got the sound. It's right there in my database.
So you keep a database of all these sounds. What's the most interesting sound you have?
Let's see. The most interesting. That's a great question.
Thank you so much. I mean, I thought it was a little better than the top 3 room tones.
No. Ow. I think it's pretty good. Most interesting sound I have. It is the waves crashing on the beach of a little film called Perfect 10.
Perfect? What?
Is that a movie?
You tell me.
What's that movie where
you mean 10? Just 10 with Bo Derek?
Mean Bo Derek. Is that what you
called? I called it Perfect.
Dudley Moore, Bo Derek.
Shooting script was Perfect 10.
Shooting script was Perfect 10. I think they dropped the Perfect.
Yeah.
Sure, and let me tell you something. I'm recording the sound, the ocean. It's hitting the sand. All of a sudden, I hear these little pitter patter. I'm like, what's that? It's freaking Bo Derek running across my microphone.
Yeah, that's the shot. You should have been paying attention.
Well,
to
I was out there getting, I was getting ocean tone.
Ocean tone.
Yeah. And she runs by. I hear the.
That's a good impression of Bo Derek's feet, by the way.
And those feet were feet.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I was a foot fetish guy?
Wait a minute. Wow. No. You should lead
with
this.
Is that more interesting than my 40 Mikeys?
Honestly, I want to follow up with foot fetish questions.
Well, seems like you work with Tarantino a lot.
I work with Tarantino. I did Inglourious Basterds, Pulp Fiction, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You can't pause.
The Hateful Eight.
They all blend for you a little bit. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, foot fetish, did you get to do 10 feet from stardom or whatever that movie was?
Oh, 50 feet from stardom?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it 50 feet?
I don't know. 20, I think 50 feet is pretty far. You're the only
I got to look this up. Yeah, 50 is too much.
I'm like,
I think it's third row with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if it's 50 feet, I feel like the backup singers are like backstage or something. Can't be 50, that.
But 50, the feet thing. It's,
50 feet is like 1/6 of a football field.
Yeah, that's
too, yeah, it's a bit too far.
That's too much. That's yeah. too
Although that's a good movie.
It is it not?
50 feet.
It is 20 feet.
It's 20 feet.
It is 20, Peter, you're right.
That's Hal, the parking attendant. That's his story.
But you were 30 feet away from the actual set?
Yes.
Doing the sound?
I was doing, so for me, it was 50 feet.
Okay.
When you add it all together.
And then the restraining order was 120.
Yeah. Right. Look, I'm just merely a simple union guy.
Right.
Who's a sound guy, who's a
I'm
foot fetish guy.
A sound guy and right. a foot fetish.
You're a foot fetish.
And I worked on, I don't know, every movie in Hollywood.
Wow.
Seemingly, and yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah,
have you ever worked with Jason?
Have we worked together?
Or? Yes. We did Blank Man. Do you remember that?
Blank Man. Oh, yes, wow. I do remember Blank Man.
I was doing room tone on Blank Man.
Well, you know what? That was probably the highlight of that film.
That was a movie filled with room tone.
I'm sorry. I actually have to disagree. I think the electric nunchucks were pretty good.
Sure.
I feel like the big bank robbery scene was great. Your mustache was great.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
I have a, it would surprise you to know, I have a co-host on another show. He keeps trying to get me to watch Blank Man.
Yeah. I feel like you don't want to watch it for some reason.
No, he said after Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Only after Pretty Woman.
But then we did it and I said, what about Blank Man? He said, he's not real. I didn't say it. My friend, who's your co-host.
Oh, you're friends with Sprague the Whisperer?
I sure am.
You sound sort of like him and another guy mixed together. So you're a foot fetish guy. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I, you know, I'm on WikiFeet 20 hours a day.
20
Wiki
hours?
WikiFeet. Is there WikiFeet?
Yeah.
Oh, plausible deniability.
Oh, hold on.
By the way. Okay, that was really good. We have an acting coach coming up. You're not going to need it.
I've never heard of WikiFeet.
Is there a WikiFeet?
Is that a website?
Just go to feet porn. I wouldn't. WikiFeet, really?
Yeah, oh, this is good.
Okay,
you're good.
Can I get room tone?
Okay. All right, we should get room tone for after the discovery of WikiFeet.
So when you look at WikiFeet,
mm-hmm. yes.
is it just all kinds of feet, or do you have to go to categories?
Peter, this is so sweet. It is a disgusting website where...
And you're a foot guy.
I'm a foot guy. I think it's disgusting. They aggregate pictures of celebrities' feet, and they rate them 1 to 5.
And these are not consensual pictures that the celebrities
are uploading.
These are
pulled off Instagram. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
this is not Grauman's Chinese.
No.
Yeah. Although, there could be a great tie-in there.
Absolutely.
Were you ever in... did you put your mitts there in Grauman's ever?
I have not.
You should.
I'd love to see
on
your
my own accord.
Just go down there.
Let's just do it.
Some cement and just let's after the show.
Why wait for
that? You know what?
Let's use
the Cronuts. We don't need the cement.
Honestly, if you did it and showed up with your own cement and did it,
sure,
they would probably be thrilled.
What would they do?
They would probably be like, cool.
We get 50 people. You're crowding down. We make a fake star. We put it there and announce it on the news.
How do sound?
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll bring my boom mic.
You're just going to be taking pictures of the feet.
No.
You know what?
I think you're going to be 50 feet from stardom.
We'll peel off Charlie Callis's star on the Walk of Fame, and we'll put
the pictures of the stars that you said it's enough for.
Let's go. That's enough.
Yeah. I was interested to find out when I was there recently that they cycle the cement. Thank God I got that. They cycle them through. So they'll have some stars out there on some days and then they swap them out.
No,
because there's
really?
too many people there.
Really?
No, they do not.
There's an episode
There's an episode.
Really?
Douglas gets lifted up.
I think there are some
for like
who
Shari
are.
Shari Lewis and Lamb Chop.
And Pauly Shore goes in.
Goes in.
Unbelievable.
That can't
Can you believe it?
I think this is really great. But for a quick second, can we get some more room tone?
Yeah.
All right. Hold for room tone.
All right.
Okay, we got to start over.
Come on, Peter. Come on, man.
Come on. All right, hold for room tone.
Who was that? That was you.
No, that was not me. That was your room creaking.
That was you just groaning during...
Listen, I'm not on the mic right now. Okay, everybody, just
you're talking
down.
Into the mic. Everyone can hear you.
Scott, I need you to hold for room tone.
What'd you say about Nixon?
Got a tough break.
The President Nixon?
Really? Yeah.
History Are there was, any other Nixons?
History was not kind to him.
All right, I think we got it.
How many times has that happened where the star of the thing just goes ahead and talks during it. And you gotta, but you can't be.
What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do at that point? Yeah. Tom Cruise starts whispering to somebody.
Do you just put it in the movie then as a room tone? Tom Cruise whispering?
When there's silence in the movie, you're gonna hear a little bit of Tom Cruise whispering.
What do you do with the NFT? Can you make some NFTs? Can room tone be an NFT?
Yes. You know, I tried to do that, but I do not understand the technology or the way people make money off of it.
Got it.
Of NFTs or of
have you guys done an episode of your podcast about NFTs?
No, we should. I want to do one on Bitcoin. I still don't understand how all that works.
Yeah.
I think we should do, you know.
I would love to get you. I have a little business called FTX. I'd love to get you involved.
Really?
If you don't mind.
I invest in anything with initials.
That's I would love for you to do some commercials, some Matt Damon style commercials.
I love
for this
that
company.
Idea. Yeah. No, I think that's, I see no downside to that.
They're bringing it back. It's coming back. Bigger
it's
going to
be
ever.
A retro soon. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to love it.
Yeah.
I just have to finish my Theranos campaign first, but then I'll be right there.
I thought that was a Theragun for a while. I was like, what are we so upset at her about?
What's the rub?
I love my Theragun.
Can I ask you guys a question about that?
Yeah, please.
And this is why we get to the really no really.
Yeah.
The board members on Theranos were like the top people in the country, educated, smart.
Right.
Nobody said, let's see if the test works. How do you get to that kind of valuation?
Yeah.
That big.
I don't know and because I've only read the headlines of the articles on Twitter about this. So I don't know anything about it, really.
Got it.
I think the conversations were probably, well, Elizabeth says it works and she's kind of attractive. You know,
give me $6 million.
So now you think she was kind of attractive.
You know, if I'm...
I don't judge women that way, but apparently...
You know. I like the look with the turtleneck and the...
It's a good look. The Steve Jobs.
And the eyes Jason with a lot of white around the
pupil. He's got actually two qualifiers. It's attractive. And then if you're on your way to prison, it's kind of attractive,
yeah. We're in prison blues.
This is all great, but...
What's going on?
Do you want to ask me about boom mics?
Oh, we didn't go there yet.
We haven't talked about boom mics.
I have a question. Why...
Yeah, Jason.
Tony, why do you put a sort of a lavalier-like mic on me, and then you also have to be there with your big stupid
with the big boom
in
the
scene? Why is one microphone not capable of doing the job?
Sound travels in multiple directions.
Okay. Two directions.
Yeah. Really, no,
chest
really.
And above your head. So if you start talking, I need to have both sides covered.
Right, sure. Hmm.
And a lot of people are worried. They're like, this guy's holding up the boom mic. I mean, just use the lav. He's holding up the boom mic. Can he hold it up for the entire scene? So, of course, before every scene, I go in, I do 50 push-ups. I say, look at how strong I am.
That's not a lot.
I say, look at how strong I am. Of course, I'll be able to hold up the boom mic. And now, but the problem is when I hold up the boom mic, I'm like, gosh.
You're tired from the push-ups.
I just did 50 push-ups.
Yeah. I was going to say, I would imagine pull-ups would be better for a boom mic.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. But where do you get the pull-up bar on a set?
I got to bring my own pull-up bar.
See, and now we're into like, you're bringing your own pull-up bar.
Hey, I'm a professional. I bring whatever I need to the set.
It's part of your equipment.
Can I ask you a question regarding your field?
Yes.
So in today's world with trigger warnings, when you...
Let's get into cancel culture. I really want to talk about this. This is prime podcast.
Yeah.
When a bunch of guys do a podcast, we got to start talking.
I'm the front line of cancel culture.
Well, I figure if I get you off the air, we move up one. So
that's a good point.
When you lob somebody up, it used to be, I mean, I'd be on set. They could go right down your back with a mic and put it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what kind of permissions do you need? What kind of work do you have to have somebody else witness it?
So basically the way it works is I walk over to you, I start tugging at your shirt and I say, hey, let me get in there.
Before you introduce us, well, you do tell them you're a
simple union guy. I start tugging on this shirt. Let me see what you're working with here. If the shirt's tugged in, I'll untuck it.
Good.
I reach out to the thigh. I mean, maybe I put a thigh thing on here.
Why? You're obsessed with the thigh. I've never had a mic on my thigh.
Well,
I've had it
never
in my
worked.
Sock. I've had it around my
you
waist.
You haven't worked with a professional, Scott. When you're shooting something and you have to walk away from the camera, and you see that little weird little tail thing come, just like you in Shallow Hal.
Sure.
That little tail thing.
Did you work on Shallow Hal?
I did, yeah.
Oh, I'm talking to Tony. Oh, Tony? I know you did, of course. Yes.
I was, of course, there. I was the secret sound guy for Shallow Hal.
Secret sound. There's a secret sound guy on every movie?
Oh, yeah.
Secret's out.
Pull up a secret room tone, I say. Everyone's like, I don't know what that is.
What is the purpose of the secret sound guy?
It's for the documentary, Scott.
Oh, okay.
It's all about the documentary.
Still waiting on that Shallow Hal documentary.
The Shallow Hal documentary. Yeah. There's an 8-part Netflix documentary series coming out.
The Making of Shallow Hal.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. What was I talking about?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you start talking on their shirt.
Tug on the shirt. You ask me why I'm obsessed with the thigh thing. I just think it's a better hiding place. Now back to tugging on the shirt. I tug on their shirt.
Yeah, we know. We get the tugging on the shirt.
No, just let me explain. So I walk over. I tug on their shirt.
You keep saying you walk over and tug on their shirt. You have not progressed past that point.
Did I mention that I say I'm a simple union?
Okay, no, you did have that one.
So I tug on their shirt. I say, yes. Let me get in there.
We know. All right. Look, room tone, Tony. We have to take a break.
Hold on. Let me explain. I get the two-sided
I don't have the pay. We have the time. We have so much more time.
You do have a lot of time.
I don't have the patience to listen to you anymore.
Okay. But let me just explain. I get the two-sided tape. I reach under there, and let me just say, the first thing I say is, I'm not doing this for sexual reasons.
Got it.
Well, that's good.
And
well,
that covers good. Me.
Yeah, okay, got it. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, that was
you make
question.
That problem. Make that yeah.
All you say is, I'm not doing this for sexual reasons. Maybe I go down, I string the like lav cord a little through their toes. I go up through their
through
leg.
Their toes.
Yeah. Amazing, because I've been mic'd up so many times. Jason, did anybody ever say I'm not doing this for sexual reasons? Nobody's announced that.
Yes, actually. You've heard Tony say we've worked together.
Yeah, we've worked together.
Many times this man has turned to me and said, I'm not doing this for sexual reasons.
You've heard that in other parts of your life, too.
Even in the van ride to the set, he said it to me.
Well, look, we do have to take
Scott,
a break.
Can I say
Tony.
One more thing?
Yeah, say one more thing, Tony. I'm begging you. These sponsors just need to be heard.
I just need to remind everyone, I'm but a simple
Yeah, no, we know! We know.
Okay, that's all I want to say.
All right, room tone, Tony. Look, can you stick around, though? I'd love to talk to you further.
And I do want to say, while we're in commercial, let's get some more room tone.
Okay, I need to do the ads, though.
Okay.
All right, we're going to come back. We have, on the other side of this, we have an acting coach. Very excited. And we have a wonderful actor here. So maybe we'll get some good tips here. We're going to come right back. We have more Jason Alexander, more Peter Tilden, more room tone, Tony. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Jason Alexander and Peter Tilden, co-hosts. Are you co-hosts or one of you the host and the other is the co-host? Does that make sense?
I think we're co-hosts. Arguably co-hosts. Our ownership isn't...
How do you mean? You have a bigger stake in this? Is that what you're saying?
Let's... Come on.
What are you taking, 98%?
Let's be serious.
Excuse me? What? Excuse me?
I mean...
Have you not talked about this at this point?
Come on.
Do I need to mediate between you two?
We're all grown-ups.
We're all grown-ups, obviously. You're bringing a lot to the table here.
How dare you? Wait.
All Peter needs to do is wet his beak.
Oh, my God.
I mean, man was on KABC, so I'm just saying.
I thought this was an uplifting, fun, free-spirited show.
Is that just not how we're coming across? I swear. I thought this was
a fun... It's 50-50, okay?
Hey, great movie. Great way to have a partnership, in my opinion.
Great. Absolutely.
This is what keeps you two together.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, they do a 25-25-25-25.
Of course. But
do they really?
They do.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
I don't.
Why wouldn't you believe
it? Do they do it on... Is that with publishing?
See, this is the thing. See, I think Bono writes the lyrics and he gets 100% of that.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
I don't know that. I don't know that either.
Do you think they split the lyrics?
I thought they split everything.
I got to schedule another interview with him.
Really?
I'll get to the bottom of this, guys.
Don't you know The Edge? Can't you call him up?
I do know
I don't know his last name. I look it up.
Yeah, Edge is the last name. Buzz.
I keep entering that. The Edge, Malibu. It doesn't come up.
It just pictures of cliffs.
It needs the last name. You need the last name. Exactly.
We also have Tony Nails, and we were getting room tone here the entire break.
Yeah.
And that was a long one, too.
I think we got it.
I hope so.
I'm gonna check the gate and make sure.
You don't check the gate. That's not what the
sound. No, we have our own gate.
You have a sound gate?
We have a sound gate that we check.
Wow.
All right. Well,
where do you keep the room tone? Where do you keep all the room tone?
Yeah,
I've got an extensive series of servers that operate throughout the East.
Is this like a Westworld kind of situation where they're all in like a dam?
Oh yeah, yeah. If a sentient computer gets a hold of any of the AI that I mean any of the stuff I've recorded. They could deep fake pretty much anyone in the world.
Wow.
Oh, no. Where do you live, by the way? What's your address?
Santa Monica. 123 Santa Monica Lane.
123 Santa Monica Lane?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't want any of the sentient AI computers.
We don't want that because, of course, I'm just but a simple union guy.
Yeah, I don't
want
to hear that again. All right. We need to bring in our next guest. She's an acting coach. This is incredible. Jason, you're an actor. And a distinguished
I'm an actor
one.
And I have taught acting for many years.
Have you really?
I have.
Who did you teach? Could anyone sign up? Or was
I don't think I have any famous students at the moment. Could, but I've taught.
What I'm asking is, can I take classes?
Can you take? Sure, you can. Sure, can I really? Yeah, absolutely.
Would you come over here?
No.
Where do I have to go?
I've been here, and I think I put in my...
Hey, this is better than Mark Maron's garage.
There's no cats running around here.
But she's an acting coach. Let's welcome to her to the show for the first time. Please welcome Philomena Trapp.
Well, hello, Scott.
Hi.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Welcome to the show. This is Jason. This is
Hello.
This is Room Tone Tony.
Hello.
Hi. Let me mic you up, and I'm not doing this for sexual reasons.
She's talking into a mic. Right now.
No, but I think she needs an extra mic.
No, I'll take the second extra. Mic. No, you'll very professional. Thank
right,
you so much.
Tape it
can
up
you
here.
Do a thigh strap?
She's speaking my language.
See, that's what
she's a pro. This is a pro here, Scott.
Yeah.
You use a thigh strap when you're in skirts.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm
that's
sorry.
That's when thigh straps come
that's
in.
That's part of so my gender of us, bias yes, coming through. You know, I apologize.
That's all right, Scott. I would just hope that you know.
Now I know, and now I am correcting myself.
Well, it's good to see you. Now, Scott.
It's good to see you. Yes, welcome to the show.
Scott.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
It's so good to see you. Welcome to the show. Now,
Scott,
Philomena, what?
Good to see you.
You're supposed to repeat back. Good to see you.
Good to see you. I've been saying, I feel like I've been saying good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Wait a minute.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Is this an exercise?
Yes.
Is
this
one of the classics?
This is a classic exercise.
This is a good to see you exercise.
No, Scott. You know, I hoped when I walked through the door that you would remember my teachings, but also just remember me and the fact that you didn't drop in Meisner with me. Well,
remember you from what? I'm sorry. Are you a famous acting teacher or are you?
I hope I'd be famous to you, Scott. I'm
who's famous to you?
Your acting teacher,
what?
Scott. I'm your act. You know what? That's zero credit F. You can't make that up. That's 10 hours. You're not going to be at the SBN at this rate.
Wait, you taught me acting?
Yes, Scott.
When?
You
didn't do a good job.
I don't know, Scott. Yeah, it's very fun, playful,
okay,
irreverent.
These are not adjectives you give to someone when you're talking about their acting.
Well, you know, you're playing a version of yourself, Scott. So, you know, I haven't seen you stretch that much,
but
what
a more annoying version.
Well, I don't know. Wait, I haven't hung out with you in a while.
That's true. When did you teach me acting? I'm sorry, I'm not recalling this.
You were 14 years old, a freshman at Cypress High School.
Oh, right.
Miss Trapp. You didn't trap that in. You didn't even remember the method.
That's right. That was your famous joke.
The trap method. You know, some people believe in method acting, or some people don't believe in that. They think you should try to be in the moment. But I believe in the trap method, which is sort of a combination of the two.
Yeah, what's the trap method?
You just
I don't
take
remember.
Trap little memories, and if they work, they work.
So that's method.
No, Scott. Oh my gosh, you don't have your acting journal still from my class?
I don't think I ever filled that out. I mean, honestly, like
that's 10 hours of extra credit F, and you can't make that up.
I barely remember. You were there for like what? How long were you there for? Like half a semester?
Yeah, about 2.5 months.
What happened? Where did you even go to?
I got transferred to a junior college.
Oh, well, that's a step up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, congrats.
Thank
to you
so
it's
much.
Great. I guess it's great to see you again. To be honest, I don't remember anything that you taught
you didn't
me.
Trapping, huh? Are you trapping anything right now, Scott?
I wish you would stop saying trap. But that's
right. They just trap it in your mind palace.
I don't have a genie, so obviously it didn't work. Because you're still saying.
What do you? Oh, because your wish didn't come true?
Yes, my wish didn't
okay,
come
yeah,
true.
You didn't have a genie or a shooting star or a birthday candle or a penny.
All the classic
all
wish
all the classic
things.
Wish vehicles.
Look, what was your...
Well, actually, I'm going to talk to Jason about this.
Well,
so
I wish
you
would because I'm fascinated.
You know, you
by
don't
your...
even remember me or my method, you know.
I apologize.
No, it's all right. It's
and
all
I'm
right.
fascinated by your trap memory methodology.
Yes.
Or alternate to methodology.
Right, so, you know, it's not so much in preparation for creating a role, Jason, you're not conjuring a specific, oh, my dog died, I need to be sad in this scene, I can't get there.
Because that would be like a sense memory.
Right,
you
we're not
do
doing
that.
These are random traps. So there's, they're like, I think I maybe had a conversation with my aunt, but it could have been a dream. Trap it.
Right, and then and you go on like
and how does
to
that
do
help
Stanley
you?
Kowalski
right.
in that moment.
That's right.
How would that help you if you're trying to do a scene where you're sad?
Well, because, you know, Scott, because you're connecting to the confusion of what is this? And that can get you to any core emotion. So any trap can lead to any core. And sometimes you need
any
a trap.
Any trap leads to confusion, which leads you to
a core
sadness.
Emotion. Yeah, to right. a core. Go one ahead. Of the four cores.
This is so
what, wait,
clear.
What are the four core emotions? If
sad, mad, glad.
Bad?
Ennui.
Oh, ennui.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So any trap can lead to a core. Sometimes you need a sub-trap to get to a more specific core if you feel like you're frustrated
you
versus mad.
Trap like
trap within a trap. That's easy. Just combine two traps.
It's an inception.
That's right. So you need a totem.
You need a totem for this as
you
well.
You need a totem to mm-hmm. to remember which side of the trap you're in. Sure. So it can be a coin. It could be a penny. Actually, a lot of wish vehicles.
Oh, really? So a genie lamp,
a birthday candle.
Got it.
I thought when all my students left my class, I gave them totems. I can't believe you didn't remember yours.
I honestly, it just seemed like you were emptying the contents of your purse that day. And just,
sure. A Banaca bottle. I used to be real into Banaca.
Use Kleenex. I think
yeah 100% yeah. of us threw them away the minute you stepped out the door.
Yeah, sure. All right. Well, you know, I did my best.
Yeah.
I don't know about this, Scott. That's 10 hours of extra credit up and you can't.
I look, I am no longer a student, even though I am intimidated by you because we all have that thing where a former teacher.
Once you remember that I once taught you for 2.5 months, you can't unring that bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Scott, do you remember anything about that period?
It was freshman spring, so you're not too. It's not freshman fall. Where
didn't
I wouldn't
seem like you trapped anything about that.
I remember I was very very
Wait,
cool.
Good, this is a good trap. Now, why'd you
very
think
popular.
That, Scott? Scott, why'd you think you were cool and popular second half freshman year, Cypress High?
I just remember, you know, just having a general like.
Okay,
BDE
three, two,
about me.
One, trap, okay. Trap it, trap it, trap
BDE.
It.
Okay,
trap it.
I got
trap
my BDE
good,
trapped.
Good, good. Now, do you have a totem? Do you have a totem around you?
I have a pretzel here.
Okay, hold the pretzel.
Hold
and
the pretzel.
BDE, I'm 14 and a half. Here we go.
I don't know that I want to be thinking about being 14 and a half.
That's the trap. That's the trap.
Yeah, okay, I got it. Okay, it's
now
in there.
We need to funnel it to a core. What do you think? Happy, sad, glad, sad, mad, or ennui? Probably ennui.
That's
going to
be ennui.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, see, and that's the trap method.
Can I ask you something?
Of course.
Can I eat the pretzel?
No, it's your totem. Eat a different pretzel. It's a whole bag. That one's the totem.
All right, I'll switch the pretzels.
Switch the pretzel. Don't eat. He ate the totem.
I was hoping you wouldn't notice.
I'm looking right at you, and we have sound for a documentary.
Yeah, I did get the sound of the crunch.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Peter.
So I'm concerned because I'm trapping his memories right
okay,
now.
Okay, this is great. No, this
I'm
is what we want.
Stuff.
No, that's the communion. That's communion of scene work there. So sometimes you can trap while you're in the rehearsal
got
process.
It, got it.
That's great. So now you can have some of his trap.
But I didn't consent to give him my trap.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Do you consent to giving Peter Party your trap? Now he can use
this
it for
sounds like a tongue twister.
Do you consent to giving Peter Party your trap?
Do you get, and he can use it for any of his four cores.
I give you consent.
Thank you very much.
Now you can trap that.
I'm right there.
Now, do you have a four core that you want to trap that to?
Wow. It's taking me to a
glad,
place.
Glad, sad, mad, ennui.
I think a little bit of sad with ennui.
Okay.
A touch of ennui.
Oh, he's crossing cores.
Oh, and a complex. That's cross, a complex.
That's tough.
It's a two totem.
Okay. Yeah. You need two totems to cross a core.
Do you need two pretzels?
I'll take these headphones.
Great.
And a mic.
You can't take my headphones and mic with you when you leave.
Good.
My totem is this laptop and
I'm not an idiot.
My totem is three of these iPads.
That's what I'm saying.
You can take the iPads.
We've done our job. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Trapp, I think maybe we should do a scene. Because
that's great.
I'm trying to learn how to act myself. On set, I'm normally checked out. I'm just holding a
If you're
microphone.
On a set, you should be able to do the job of anyone who's on that set.
That's what they
exactly
say.
Right.
That's what they say.
Well
that's why I knew about the thigh mics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should do that shoe scene from Pretty Woman. Okay, I'll be Richard Gere.
Okay.
And Scott, would you like to be Jason Alexander?
Yeah, I mean, I just saw the movie. I don't recall the shoe scene.
Now,
all that well,
now I want to start before you dive into
I'll
the
try,
scene with a little bit of prep work. Okay so what do all you right. think the core emotion that your character has in this scene?
Glad, sad, mad, ennui.
For me, it's horny.
Okay, that's crossing cores. That's crossing both ennui. That's actually all four cores.
Okay, great.
To be horny, you have to have all four cores.
All four are engaged when horny?
Yeah, because you're sad because you're not satisfied.
Right.
You're getting mad about it, so you have a little frustration.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're glad because you're thinking about, well, what if I'm not horny anymore? Yeah. And then on week, because where's it going to come from?
This makes sense.
So it's all four cores, so that's going to need four traps.
Brilliant.
Okay, so think of four traps.
Okay.
All right. You only need one totem. All right.
Okay.
And that's for Tony. And what about you, Scott?
I think I'm going to be glad. Were you glad in that scene, Jason? I don't remember.
In the shoe scene?
Yeah.
I was crossing.
I'm going to do whatever you were.
I was mad glad.
You were mad glad. Okay, I'll be mad glad.
Two course, two traps. Okay, right. So just go ahead and take your traps.
Two pretzels?
No, just one totem for two traps.
Okay. I got one pretzel.
Because we're only,
do I need to break it in half?
Yeah, that'd be great. Break it in half. Trap it. Okay, and go.
Okay. Hey, so Jason Alexander's character.
Hey, Richard Gere.
Yeah.
His character.
Yeah. You know, the deal that we were trying to work out.
Where'd you get those shoes?
My shoes? What do you mean?
Those shoes on your feet?
Well, I was fucking them. I was at my horny.
Yeah, that's good. You're using those cores.
These were my sex shoes.
Oh, I'm mad about it, but I'm very glad about it as
great.
Well.
Okay, great. I'm going to stop you right there now. Jason, is this bringing up a trap for you?
It's bringing up something.
Yeah, I feel like you might want to trap this experience because this, I think, could be a helpful trap for you. I don't want to speak you. You have a fabulous career. I don't want to imply you need any coaching, if you want to try the trap method, you probably want to trap this.
Okay, trap this, and maybe he jumps into the scene now.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. Do you want to
be Julia Roberts?
Maybe Julia Roberts.
Perfect. Okay, so you are at, I want to fuck these shoes. I feel is part of your own self you're bringing to the part, which I support.
That's great.
Go ahead.
Hey, who's this?
Oh, this is Julia Roberts, my prostitute.
Hi.
There is no way I do this bit without my life, my career, and my reputation.
Don't open your mouth. No trap.
Completely canceled, right?
Yeah, go ahead, trap.
There's no way I can do it.
Shut your trap.
Well, I think you could. There's some safe things you could say, but I understand that. I understand it being a narrow walk.
So you're going to be honest, the intro.
I'm going to have my Winchell's Cronut.
Yeah, the intro you got
and
is
my
rough.
Winchell's
yeah,
coffee.
It's
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
it's
you're stuff. Right.
Okay, yeah. You know what, Tony? I feel like you weren't supporting your scene partner very well in that scene. So that's 10 hours of extra credit, F, and you can't make that up.
Damn, I'm going to have to do it.
Why don't you be the other person in the scene? Who was the other person?
I could be Gary Marshall directing it.
Yes.
Right. That's good. That's good.
Okay. Just be careful. All right.
And he did the voice of the of someone on the street as well.
He did the voice of someone on the street.
Yes,
sure.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Jason Alexander's character.
Cut. Let's move on.
Really? We got
that
it?
That was perfect. Hey, Jason Alexander's character is good. Next scene. Let's do the next scene.
All right. Shit. Now, what do you think of the trap method
The trap method works.
It's pretty easy.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
It makes a lot of cogent sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you. I'm never going to look at a movie the same way again.
Yeah. You're just going to think about it.
I may just never look at a movie.
This has opened up I understand. Now, there's so many things I understand now.
That's right. Yeah.
When you know how the sausage gets made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Sometimes it can hurt your appreciation of the art, or sometimes it can help it.
And who needs to look at a movie when you can just hear it? That's all I want to say.
With all the room tone.
With all the room tone. I'm assuming you guys.
Well, you were starring in that PSA for a while. That's where I recognize you from. Who needs to look at a movie?
I say, who needs to look at a movie when you can hear it?
Now, did you feel bad about the fact that you were on screen in that moment?
Yes, but
and people were like, "You're right. We're looking at you, and we don't like looking at you."
Hey, I wasn't directing it. What am I?
Gary Marshall?
No, it wasn't Gary. It was Penny Marshall.
Mm. Oh, Penny.
Love Penny.
That was a Penny.
Classic Penny.
Director of very few movies, but they were all really good.
Solid.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Do you know something that was a real trap for me was the friendship between her and Rosie O'Donnell on Rosie O'Donnell's daytime talk show?
Really?
That's a huge trap for me.
You think about that often?
Oh, it gets me glad so fast. They were dear pals.
Did you ever go on the Minions ride over at Universal Studios?
Oh, that's a trap. That's a sad trap.
Ever make you cry?
Yeah, only every time.
Yeah. It's good, right? The Minions are funny. We can agree the Minions are funny.
Oh, the Minions
right?
are hilarious.
Can we all agree on that?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
The Minions are funny?
I have never seen the Minions.
Oh, Jason.
Jason, you got to do an episode of my show. Scott hasn't seen. We'll watch a Minions. We'll all agree
really?
The Minions are funny.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm up for it.
Okay, great.
Minions so is that, are Steve Carell, right? Steve Carell is a part of
the
Minions.
Yeah,
the Despicable Gru.
He watches movies 20, 30 years later, and I'm doing that right now?
Yeah, exactly. The Minions, will do it in about 20 years. Can you come by?
It's a day.
Do I need to go to you?
You bet. No, I'll be there.
Who have you worked with? Have you worked with...
You and 25 years of junior college students.
And none of them went on to anything?
I mean, not anything. Some of them are theater actors, or as you wouldn't know their names, theater educators, a lot of theater educators.
Oh, I wouldn't know their names.
You didn't know my name.
Well, that's a good point.
You introduced me as an acting coach, not my acting coach of 2.5 months.
I'm so sorry. And I should have known the name Trap. Spelled with three P's at the end. Very strange.
Yeah, I added one.
Oh, you added one. Yeah. Oh, so.
Well, I think there was a trap in the union.
Yeah, in the union. I am but a humble union gal.
Me too. I'm but a humble union guy.
AFTRA, but I didn't buy into SAG when they merged.
Oh, really? So you're not a part of SAG?
You refuse.
I refuse. I said, I don't want to get it this way.
You want to earn it.
I want to earn it.
You want to be Taft Hartley.
Taft Hartley, please, please, someone Taft Hartley me.
And of course, I'm a member of IATSE 42069.
Okay.
Do you like that one, Scott?
I love it, obviously, but come on.
Trap it, Scott.
That union local, is it 124 Santa Monica?
Oh, right.
Very
right
close. Yeah, it made it convenient for me.
Across the street, actually.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're unfortunately running out of time.
Oh, Scott, I feel horrible about this.
You have 10 hours of extra credit. And you can't make that up.
I'm sorry.
You can't make it up.
We only have time for one final feature on the show, and that's a little something called plugs.
It's time to give me your plugs.
All right.
That was some good sound.
I got scared at the end. I'm going to trap that.
Who's your production? That's amazing.
That was the Gimme Plug Shimmy by Brandon E. Gaylor. Thank you to Brandon E. Gaylor. Wow. If you have a plugs theme you want to submit, head over to cbbworld.com/plugs and you can submit those and get played on the show. Guys, what do we want to plug? Obviously, Really No Really is out there in podcast world right now. And
I had big news breaking today. Want me to plug it?
Yes.
It was released in the New York Times today. I will be making, at the age of 63, after all my years in the theater, I'm directing my first Broadway show this summer. It is called The Cottage, starring Eric McCormick, Laura Bell Bundy, and Lily Cooper.
Congratulations.
And it will be starting performances in July of 2023 and playing through October.
Will it be playing on my birthday, July 2?
And do you need an acting coach?
We will not be playing then.
Do you need an acting coach?
I was glad you brought that up, Ms. Right. Trapp, because I want to talk about
fantastic.
Locking in those traps.
I'm going to Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Eric's a big trapper, I can tell.
Oh, yes.
Where's it playing? A lot of traps. The Sondheim? Where's it playing?
It's going to be at the Hayes Theater.
The Hayes.
Right next door to Sardis.
I thought you were going to say The Hague.
No, not The Hague. not playing at The Hague. No, I'm afraid.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's approximately, sounds like a 3-month run, 4-month run?
It's a 16-week run. Yes, indeed. It's called a limited engagement.
Wonderful. And then you get better actors because when you go see a real Broadway show.
No way but up.
Yep. When you see a real Broadway show, it's 13 months. So you get the worst actors because they're people who don't have anything else to do for 13 months. But like you, you get to do a 16-week thing, so you get really good actors.
That's right.
Yes,
you've nailed it.
Is that true with the long ones?
You can. It's very hard to get a celebrity to do anything more than 16 weeks.
Yeah, they asked me to play Shakespeare in something rotten. I'm not even an actor.
Peter, anything separately you want to plug?
I'm just going to Jason's show on Broadway if I can get tickets.
Is this the first time you're hearing about it?
I know that he was doing it, and I'm still fuming a bit because he's going away, but that's okay. We'll make it work.
Wonderful.
Well, I'm proud.
You guys' friendship is an inspiration from breakfast to this.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Look where we came.
Look where we ended up. What does it inspire exactly?
Well, it inspires maybe I can have a human relationship like that at some point.
Do you have a best friend?
I think his name's Sprague the Whisperer.
I don't know about that, but a lot of people say like, "Oh, my wife's my best friend." It's like, no, I mean really. My best friend's Steve.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah. Steve.
Good guy.
Steve's
a wonderful man. I keep him very private. I don't like to talk about
him. Okay. Because he's open up for the first time. Steve's going to want you to talk about him. He's okay with it. What industry? Give us an industry.
He works in the Corona industry.
Well, there you go.
So you're making jokes about Steve. He's very uncomfortable.
He sold you those Cronas. Would surprise you to know. He's the one who sold you the Cronas.
Jason Scott, we have to have him on. Really, no, really. He's trapped.
Could I be on your show?
You've trapped him a little too far. He's made of traps.
Yeah.
Could I be on your show? I don't know anything about anything. Is that the kind of person you like to have on your show?
We would find the thing about you that would make people go, really?
Okay.
This is quite a challenge. You really know release to him.
What?
He was early in on the podcast thing. Really
no one wants to hear a podcast about a podcaster, do they?
I didn't say we're going to do that.
Maybe they do.
Hey.
Tony Nails, what do you want to plug?
Well, of course, I want to plug Avatar The Way of Water.
Because you worked on that.
To Leslie.
It's boring, though, isn't it?
I think it's pretty boring, but the sound is great. Especially when you get underwater. The
you hear
3D
splash,
sound.
Splash, splash.
Really
splash.
Good whales.
Yeah, I had to mic up a lot of different areas of the set in order to get the right sound.
Yeah, wow.
I also did Everything Everywhere All at Once, Banshees of Inisherin.
So you've done everything that's out there for the Oscars this year.
Did you do Tar?
I didn't work on Tar.
Oh, because there's a lot of sound in Tar.
That's our biggest competition. I feel like the Tar guy is going to get us this year.
Yeah.
Room Tone Totino is his name.
Room Tone Totino?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. He's my direct competition. For every 12 Oscar-winning movies I do, he does one.
And I hear he's a scab. He's not a union guy.
He's not a bus.
He's a very complicated non-union guy.
And he's out there breaking up picket lines? Is that true?
He's over
with,
there.
Like, sticks and bats?
He drives by. He's got a hose in his car somehow. It just sprays us.
And
a little podcast called Scott Hasn't Seen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jason's going to be on
I
that.
I do sound on that.
Yeah. And I'm searching for your name. Where did I write it
hold
down?
Hold that pencil. Okay.
There it is. I didn't trap your name, unfortunately, still.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Philomena Trapp, what do you want to play?
Yeah, I'm going to be directing a production of Three Sisters at Fullerton Junior College. If anyone wants to come see that, you can listen to Off Book Podcast or watch Play It By Ear on Dropout. You can stream shows on Dropout.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
I didn't know what any of that meant.
I would imagine with Three Sisters, you can't even get to the four core emotions because
there's only three of them.
There's not. You can't. So I have to cut one. I decided to cut Mad. So
Three Sisters, a lot of them are Mad, as I recall when I read it.
Yeah, mostly on Wii.
Oh, okay.
Is Three Sisters about three black women?
It should be.
Don't answer that. You'll get canceled.
I want to plug, hey guys, the Comedy Bang Bang book is coming out in just a couple of months in late April, and I just got mailed a copy today, and it is pretty cool. I gotta say, I think I was telling a friend, I was like, is this gonna be worth the money? Because I've only seen a flat PDF of it on a computer screen, and I picked it up, and it's really good. I think people will really, really like it. You're
doubling the price now, right?
Yeah, now that I saw it was worth the money, it's like, let's jack this up. People can get it anywhere books are sold, but if you're looking for links, go to cbbworld.com/book. And while you're at cbbworld.com, you can hear all the archives of this show as well as, different shows like Scott Hasn't Seen or, CBB Presents. We just put out a, Alimony Tony, Valimony Shoney.
Alimony Tony. That's my cousin. Good guy.
You know Alimony Tony?
Yeah, he's from the Tony family. A lot of the people in our family the Tonys are named Tony.
Got it. So head over to cbbworld.com for all that. All right, let's close up the old plug bag.
Doors are made for closing, so we take them up and shut them tight. Then doors are made for locking, so when we take a key and make it right, we turn it to the right. Oh no, that unlocked. It's time to open the plug bag.
What? Wow.
Wow, it's right.
It took a lot longer to close that bag than open it.
Yeah.
It's like Pandora's box once you open it up.
Pandora, wonderful from Avatar.
Yes, I worked on Pandora.
I want to go back.
Mm-hmm. That was Take a Plug on the Wild Side by Danny Defibrillator. Thank you so much to Danny Defibrillator. That was a good one. To be honest, with the raw material that you guys have to work with, I'm surprised you are able to come up with such great remixes every week. If you want to make a remix, all the stems are over there at cbbworld.com/plugs. Guys, I want to thank you so much. Jason, Peter, so great to meet you, Peter. So great to see you again, Jason.
Thank you, sir.
Huge fan really hope that you stick with the podcast thing. Really?
No, really.
That's
the name
right.
of the pod.
That's right.
Very good, Tony.
How long do you think you'll do it for? Are you in this for the long haul?
Oh, yeah. We got, there's legal.
Yeah.
No, we're doing it. We owe them.
You owe them a bunch of episodes.
They made the big mistake in podcasting. They paid up front.
A number is like 104 or something like that. Until Steve gets his own podcast, your friend
Steve. Oh, my good friend Steve.
Steve, yeah.
Good luck with it. Always love welcoming new podcasters to the podcast sphere.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. Tony Nails, yeah. So great to see you.
Great to meet you. Before we go, Scott... Okay, I think we got it.
So that's how you trick people into getting room tone by just taking a long pause in the middle of your
sentence?
Sometimes
I got to do what I got to do.
So. I understand. And Philomena Trapp.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you again.
There you go.
Let's not make it another 15 years before I see you.
That'd be great, Scott.
All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.